Hi, I'm Alex L., and I write books for a living. The Hey Girl podcast was created with sisterhood and storytelling in mind. Hey Girl.
Hey Girl.
Hey Girl.
Hey Girl.
I'll be sitting down with some phenomenal women to discuss love.
I believe we grew distant out of love of some type, like, yeah. I don't want to hurt you.
Loss.
Really don't know what's going to trigger that feeling of grief in any moment.
And a topic very important to my work. Self-care.
Freedom is self-care. It's not about pedicures, it's not about clothing, it's not about trips.
Join us as we journey through sharing together. Today on the show, I'm sitting down with a maker named Alexis. She is a potter and an educator, and we dive into the topics of making and using our hands as meditation and how self-care plays a role in her day-to-day life. This is Alexis's story. Hey, girl.
Hey, girl.
Alexis, it's so good to have you on the show. How are you today?
I'm doing great. It's wonderful to be here. I've been looking forward to this.
So before we dive into our conversation, I would love for you to tell the Hey Girl listeners who you are and what you do.
Sure. So my name is Alexis Tellefson. I am a potter. And I am the maker behind Tellefson Atelier. So I'm kind of a little bit of everything in my business, but, you know, I consider myself a maker and a potter.
How did you get started with pottery? Because my mug is my most favorite mug, and I'm so excited for my big jumbo mug that you're making me.
Yeah.
I discovered you through, I think it's a mutual friend who's here in DC, and she had your mug, and I was like, I need that mug. Found you, stalked you, ordered the mug, and now we are here. So I just wanted to know how you got started with pottery and ceramics, and what called you to that art.
Yeah, so I went to college. I graduated high school in 2009, and I decided, I'm going to go to college. I'm going to go to New Paltz. It was the only college that I ever even thought about going to. And I was going to be an art teacher because my whole life I loved making things. And I was like, the one thing that always called me was to be making. So I thought the most sensible option is go to school, become an art teacher, and then you never, ever have to stop. So I got to school and I started taking art classes, and somehow I was able to take a ceramics class my first year at school, which is like considered an upper division class. It was kind of rare, but I took it and I was like, okay, so this changes everything. Like, I absolutely fell in love with it. And I had a lot of support from the staff and from my teacher. And she was like, hey, have you ever considered a BFA in ceramics? And I said, no, but I'm considering it now. And it's kind of all been uphill from there. So, I love it. When I was in college, I was making much different work than what I'm making now, mm-hmm. but it like became a part of my life then and has just never let go.
Do you remember the first time you like touched the clay and put it on the wheel, and like, what was that experience like for you?
So it's funny, I fell in love with ceramics because I liked hand building, which we had this first project and you got to make this really big pot based on a historic pot of your choosing. And I just loved handling the coils of clay and building and getting to build really large. But then once I got into the program, they were like, okay, so you're going to take a wheel throwing class now. And when I sat down at the wheel, I did not enjoy it at all.
Really?
It was, yeah. And it's funny because I teach some intro level pottery classes occasionally through a community studio here. And I always tell students, like, it's not easy when you first start. Like, it's extremely challenging. So, yeah, it was not an immediate love affair with throwing, but once I got it, I couldn't stop. I just was always making bowls and mugs for gifts and things kind of on the side when I was making my studio work and like my classwork. So I believe, yeah, reflecting back on the first time, I was like, oh my gosh, this is way too hard.
So yeah. I wanna dive in to making as meditation, because for me, looking at artists like yourself, who use their hands in such a tactile way, I always think that it's this like super groovy meditative process. Mm-hmm. And like you're sitting there, you're at the wheel, you're touching, you're doing all the pretty things. And I have a feeling that it's not what I'm fantasizing it to be. But I can't help but think that it can be such a meditative experience. So I would love for you to explore that with us a little bit and how you find your self-care and your peace at the wheel.
Yeah, it totally feels that way. It's funny, I was kind of thinking before we spoke, like, what are, you know, the self-care things that I do in my life? Mm. And I kept thinking, like, it is my time in the studio. It is my time at the wheel. Mm. And because of the way that I make my work, I have kind of a wide variety of pieces, but I will make something, one thing, in large batches. Mm-hmm. So if I sit down to make like one style of mug, I'll make 24 in a run. And by the time that I'm at that last one, I realize that like my brain has been completely at peace the entire time. You know, sometimes there's little hiccups and challenges through that process, but it feels extremely meditative. And also like the action of having something like soft and malleable in your hands that's spinning, mm-hmm. that you're watching spin, mm-hmm. Is super hypnotic. And I think that's what draws people to like all those videos you see online of artists throwing pieces, because it really can be this like smooth and calming experience. So yeah, I think it's funny that I can find like my peace and my self-care through the production of my work. And I'm super grateful for that. And I'm like always dying to get to that stage, mm-hmm. of throwing again, because I try to see work through in batches. Yeah. So, you know, I'm not really at the wheel that often. It's maybe like once or twice a week, but it feels just like the best place to be for me.
So I really appreciate that about your work, the minimalism aspect and mm-hmm. not having a lot of choices. Because for me as a consumer, sometimes like when I see people's work and I fall madly in love with their work, like I have with yours, I want to buy one of everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of every color, of every style, yeah. variation. And I'm like, Alexis gives me something I can digest. And like, yeah. I reach for my mug from you every day. And the exception is when like there's stale coffee sitting in it and I don't feel like cleaning out, you know, right away. Yeah. So then I have to reach for my other mug. But I do want to talk about your decision to have the batch approach and the minimalist approach, because I know when I reached out about my second mug, you were saying I am working with a certain type of clay right now and I can play with you know, with that. Mm-hmm, and I really mm-hmm. loved that. It wasn't like, okay, pick from this color, this paint, this mm-hmm. gloss. It was very much like, here's what I have, and if you want it, I can make it for you. So can we talk a little bit more about that and your decision behind navigating your making that way?
Yeah, totally. I think part of it is just like how I function, and then part of it is a function of my circumstances. Mm-hmm. Because my studio is extremely small and I'm the only person making the work or doing any of it.
Yeah.
So for me, I just have one wheel, I have one set of bats, I have two sets of shelves. And so I have to be really thoughtful about what I make. And I, like, for the first maybe 6 months of me making things seriously on my own, I did a lot of play, mm-hmm. and I gave myself space to experiment. And I do that every once in a while. I start to kind of like introduce a new glaze or, you know, test things out. But I've tried to be really focused because I know my limitations. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's really nice to hear that you were have a good experience with like the limitations of my work, because I think other people come to me and they're like, oh, but can I have it in green? Mm. Oh, but do you make this in that color? And I do a lot of saying no to people and feeling like, oh, maybe I should offer every single thing in every single option. But that just becomes very overwhelming.
Yeah.
And right now I feel like I'll always be going through this phase of like paring down, making decisions and like tightening the line. Mm-hmm. But I'm working on doing that now because I do recognize that the more limitations there are, the more curated things are. I like the work to kind of like all function together, like using different clay bodies. I have 4 going at any given time, but they all look nice together, I think.
Yes.
You know, they all complement each other. So it's a collection, and it's a lot of careful choices. I feel that that helps me keep my brain in check better.
No, I love that. Yeah.
You know, and I always want to make something new. I'm always
right.
like, oh, what if I make a match striker? Oh, what if I start using yellow? And then I'm like, hold on, just think about it for a minute before you offer it to the world and someone wants 20 and you can't do it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I recently started wearing a new bra by Third Love, and I absolutely adore it. Did you know that breast shape matters when you're finding a good fit? I didn't. Third Love uses data points generated by millions of women who have taken their Fit Finder quiz to design bras with breast size and shape in mind for a perfect fit and premium feel. I found the Fit Finder quiz really helpful when I was picking out my Third Love bra. I didn't know I was wearing the wrong size for so long. I think what's really awesome about this is that over 12 million women have taken the quiz to date, and it's actually a pretty fun experience. I answered a few simple questions, and I found my perfect fit in about 60 seconds. Third Love offers more than 70 sizes, which is more sizes than most other brands, including their signature half cup sizes. Not only that, but Third Love is convenient. You can skip the trip to the mall, find your fit with their online fit finder, order, try it on at home. No more awkward fitting room experiences. What really sold me on Third Love was the 100% fit guarantee. Every customer has 60 days to wear it, wash it, and put it to the test. And if you don't love it, you can return it. And Third Love will wash it and donate it to a woman in need. Third Love's team of expert fit stylists are dedicated to helping you find your perfect fit. Fit stylists are available every day to help via text, chat, or phone. Returns and exchanges are free and easy. What's not to love? Third Love knows there's a perfect bra for everyone. So right now, they're offering Hey Girl listeners 15% off of your first order. Go to thirdlove.com/heygirl to find your perfect fitting bra and get 15% off your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/heygirl for 15% off today.
I think sometimes as small businesses, but also when we're in this realm of being creative for a living and making things, we always want to touch and play and explore with other things.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the beauty is knowing your limits and also honoring the boundary that you've put up for yourself, because I feel like that's a form of self-care too. Setting up a boundary, not just for outside folks, but for the self and being able to be like, this is what I can do. This is what I want to do and offer. And that's it. So I like how you said you've been saying no to a lot of people, but then also having this kind of internal dialogue of like, should I be offering all the things and like every shade?
Yeah.
So how has that been? You know, let's talk about boundaries for a second. I guess boundaries in business, right? And then mm-hmm. boundaries for self. How has it been saying no? And let's unpack like that whole thing of, but should I be saying yes? So yeah. How has that been looking?
Oh my goodness. It's been really crazy. It's like, it's hard because when I'm saying no to something, I'm saying no to like a potential opportunity in mm-hmm. some ways. That's mm-hmm. what my brain says to me when mm-hmm. I'm doubting myself. And right now that has come more in the form of like venues and opportunities to sell work and places to put my work. Mm-hmm. And for that, it's meant like, can I make enough? You know, can I be there the way that I want to be there? Because sure, I can show up with some stuff, but I want to show up with the right stuff.
Right.
So it's funny. I feel like I deal with that internal dialogue every day. And I talk to my partner about it all the time. And he's always like, you love to do stuff. I'm like, yeah, I do.
Right.
It, you know, it's like what drives me. But I spend lately, within the past like couple weeks, actually, that lately, I've been trying to remind myself that my personal expectations are always going to be extremely high mm-hmm. for myself yes. and for my business. Mm-hmm. And the way that I represent myself is extremely important. But if something is missing that I planned, nobody knows but me.
Mm.
And, you know, sometimes I'm like, oh, but I need to have 2 dozen of these because what if I only show up with 6 and I sell out? It's like, nobody knows that I didn't have that extra inventory or that I didn't have that extra mug or that extra style. Like they see what I have here and they love what I have here. And I have to celebrate that for myself, mm. that I'm doing enough at any given time.
That is amazing. And that's really yeah. introspective too, because I think so many folks feel like it has to be all or all, right? Especially in yeah. business, because it's like, okay, well, this person sees me and wants me, and this person sees me and wants me, and like yeah. all this stuff, and I want to show up and I want to be out there. But it's like, how do we not oversaturate ourselves and yeah. then just overextend? Because mm-hmm. that's a big part of burnout. And self-care in business is exactly what you're talking about, like boundaries, knowing and owning what you've set in place for yourself and your standards. Like that's a big thing. So man, I feel you on that all the way.
Yeah. It's like, it's every day. And I think I've tried to do a good job of letting some other parts of my life go mm-hmm. or in order to have the energy and the time to put forth into my business, because a year ago I was working 2 part-time jobs. I was working full-time and I was trying to do this.
Wow.
And I was like, I can't do it anymore. As much as I don't want to let anything in my life go, because I've been so lucky to have amazing jobs and really good opportunities and been surrounded by really good people, it was a moment where I had to be like, all right, this process is starting of saying no and pulling back. Mm-hmm. And I have to just like be okay with it.
Yeah.
You know, I just have to decide that it's fine.
Right.
And it's everyone is doing that. And it feels best for me. So yeah, it's daily decisions.
Aside from sitting at your wheel and experiencing your self-care through making, how else have you been exploring self-care in your life and like how you move through it on a day-to-day basis?
I would say I'm not always doing a very great job of it.
Yeah.
If I'm being honest. You know,
all of us have that answer.
Yeah. I wish I could be like, well, I read a book every night before bed and I, you know,
yeah.
and like that's not reality for me, but mm. I have tried to like lean into small moments throughout the day mm. that feel good. Mm. So like waking up in the morning and having a cup of coffee and just being quiet with a cup of coffee for 10 minutes before I'm diving into emails
mm.
is like a moment of self-care.
Yes.
Or just like being in my car, because I drive quite a lot. My part-time job is an hour away, and most of the firing that I do is an hour away. So I'm in my vehicle every single day. Mm-hmm. And I try to be quiet in the car, maybe get another cup of coffee, yeah. and just have some peace. Mm-hmm. And then I also find that I'm an extroverted introvert. I love to be alone, but I know how to talk to people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I get most of my energy, I think, from solitude, but I also have been trying to push myself to have small moments with other people, like getting lunch with a friend or visiting my cousin. A couple weeks ago, I finally visited my cousin in her new apartment for the first time in over a year, mm-hmm. and just stepped out and enjoyed other people and put the business in the back of my brain and just live. And that feels really good to me. Sometimes I forget how fed I can feel from just visiting my dad for an hour or having a chat with my mom, mm-hmm. and taking that space for the people that I care about. So I would say those are my ways. Also kind of just day-to-day chores and things like that. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm going to empty the sink when I do the dishes.
Yep.
I'm going to get through all of them. It doesn't happen very often, but I'm going to treat myself.
Mm-hmm.
That feels like self-care.
It is. It is. And I'm so glad that you rattled off those things, because that's where the self-nurturing is, in those little mm-hmm. moments that we can lean into, and those things that make us feel fed, and those things that make us feel full, you know, and really good. Self-care isn't this thing for Instagram. It isn't this manicure.
No.
It's not this facial. I mean, yeah, sometimes for some folks, right? But mm-hmm. that's not always what it is. That's not always how it looks. And I feel as though, and you can feel free to chime in on this, self-care is being marketed as this consumerism and buy, 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 spend, 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 exert all your options financially to make yourself feel good. But that's momentary.
Yes.
After that manicure, you might still feel drained.
I used to do that. I think before, if I'm being honest, I had a real grip on my personal finances. Mm-hmm. I was I have a little free time today. I'm going to just go to Target. I know I need to just get Q-tips, but let me just browse through the home section
yeah.
or go buy some senseless stuff mm-hmm. and go shopping or treat myself. And if anything, it left me more empty then I had this extra stuff in my life and less money in my pocket that I was working very hard for, and it was not ever making me feel good.
Mm.
And I've never been the type of person that enjoys facials or getting my nails done and stuff like that. It's just not conducive to my life.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes that does make other people feel good,
mm-hmm.
and I respect that, but I don't think it has to be so showy.
It's that
mm-hmm. yeah
mm-hmm.
I did this good thing for myself. I find that the moments of self-care are things that are not photogenic, are not brag worthy. They're so personal
and sacred.
Yes
dishes
and quiet no,
seriously, I feel a huge relief when the house is quiet, when the windows are cracked and there's nice
mm-hmm.
breeze coming through, because it's been so hot here. But yesterday it was great and I could crack my
yes.
window. And this morning I scrubbed down the oven, and that was my self-care. And it didn't feel like a chore. It felt let me just take this moment while the baby is asleep, while my oldest is getting ready for school, while my husband is relaxing, to just do something that I want to do. And I want more women specifically to know that self-care is so diverse and can look so many different ways, from that manicure to that facial, all the way down to sitting still, all the way down to going for a walk and really, and no phone, not documenting, hey, I'm on this walk this morning, but really just chilling out is self-care, taking a breath.
Yes.
We forget to breathe sometimes. I walk through the day sometimes and I'm like, did I breathe? Like, we know we breathe, right? But yeah. It's like, did I really take a breath?
Yeah. Sometimes I get like halfway through my day and I'm like, okay, I know I haven't stopped moving, but like, what did I do all day?
Yeah.
You know, and even sometimes with driving, I find sometimes it's like, okay, yeah, I'm calm. But other times I'll like get to my destination and be like, oh, where was my brain? Because I was like thinking about all the other things that I need to be handling, or the email that I need to send, or the thing I forgot to put on my to-do list. And then I'm somewhere else, literally, like physically somewhere else, and was not there for the ride. Mm. And that, like, I feel like that happens when I'm not checking in with myself, when I'm not just taking a moment and kind of like decompressing just for a minute and thinking about my day.
Yeah. Oh man, I'm right there with you. I am right there with you. And I
think that feels good to hear.
I think everyone who listens to this is going to be like, me too. Because sometimes like that is what life is, that we're just kind of coasting, maybe even floating through, and like forgetting to step and forgetting to like just be here. So when I tell people, be here, be present, that's what I mean. Like while we're driving, be tuned into yourself, check in, don't just think about the list, because I do that too. Really just trying to tap into self. And it's difficult. Yeah. It is so hard sometimes. So before we wrap up, I want to ask you a question that, feel free to think about it for a little bit, but how does your work and your creativity support you?
Oh, I don't have to even think about that, really. It feels like my work and my creativity, business aside, even just like the work that I make and the action of being able to be a creative human being, is who I am. It is the most steadfast thing in my life. I couldn't imagine where I would be if I didn't have those aspects of me. So it feels very integral to who I am as a person, and I'm extremely grateful for it, and extremely grateful that I get a response from it, that it allows me to connect with so many people and support so many people. It just is like, it's who I am.
Something that came up while you were talking is this last question that I want to wrap with. What has pottery and teaching taught you about community?
Well, just like how important strangers are. Like, I walk into a class and I don't know anybody and they don't know me, and the classes that I teach are 6 weeks long. We meet once a week, and by the end everybody's friends. And reminding myself that like I can come upon anyone and they can become a friend, and they can become an ally, and it can be just so fulfilling to learn someone new. That's certainly what teaching has taught me, and that like I can always be learning from the people around me, to always be open to other people and what they have to say and what they have to bring.
I think that's a great way to end. Thank you so much, Alexis, for being with me today.
Thank you so much for having me.
The Hey Girl podcast is a member of The District Productive, produced by Paul, Woody Woodhall, and me, Alex L. Music by DC's own Kokai.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.